First Peter chapter 2. And when we're done with First Peter chapter 2, we're going to go into the book of Ephesians. And we're going to stay there for a little bit. Amen? And starting in verse 9, comenzando en el verso 9, but you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people. Amen? And when I talk about you being a chosen people, it means that you were chosen by God. Amen? Amen. You were chosen by God. Amen? So you are a chosen people. And it says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Now, if you ever wonder what God thinks about you, if you ever wonder how God sees you, in light of what Christ did on the cross, this is what you look like. Amen? Not before the cross, but after the cross. Amen? What do I mean by that? I mean that if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, called on His name, repented of your sin, this is what the Bible says He looks at you like. Amen? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. But it doesn't stop there. Because some of us think that, oh, Señor, el Señor, the God, you know, got it good when He saved me. Amen. He hit the big one when He saved me. Amen. He hit the lottery. I'm that pretty, you know. And we feel all pretty and all nice. And God did a good thing, amen, by saving me. You know, and we feel like we should sit up on a trophy and stay there looking all nice and pretty. But it doesn't stop there. Amen? He keeps on going. He says, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession. But you are this to declare, to proclaim, to say, to witness, to share, to minister. Amen? To declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. But sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget where we were brought from. And somebody says, well, you look the same. Nothing really changed on you. You don't look different. Well, it may not be on the outside what changes, but something happens. Something happens. The Bible says that he that is in Christ, in Corinthians, it says that he that is in Christ is a new creature. It's a brand new creature. It's a new baby. It's a new person. That's why the Bible says that we are born again. Amen? Amen. Because you died to your old self. Amen? And you are risen with Christ. Amen? Just as He rose from the dead, just as He defeated death and He rose, you also are risen in Christ to a new life. Amen? Are you getting me? Amen. Praise God. If you help me, we're going faster. Praise God. Amen. You got to say amen, brother. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Because then I think you guys don't like me. Now, verse 10 says, once you were not a people, or once you had no identity, you were not a people. You were not chosen. You were not a royal priesthood. You were not God's special possession. Once you were not, you were outside. Amen? You were abandoned. You were lost. You were orphaned. Amen? You were alone. You did not have or did not merit God's blessings, God's provision. Amen? You had no claim. Even though I'm 38 years old, got a wife and three kids, a mortgage payment, a car note, and doctor's bills and light bills and all that stuff. Even though I got that, when I go to my daddy's house and my mom's house, I don't have to ask to get into the refrigerator. Yeah, and I've gone often. Praise God. Nobody can tell me, hey, what are you doing? Amen? Why? Because I got claim. Amen? I got right. Praise God. Because I'm His special possession. And you've heard him call me, I'm not going to say it, my baby. Amen. I'm be 50 years old and they still call me that. Why? Because I got claim. I got a right. I can go to his house, I can get the remote and change the channel. But if I go to your house and get the remote and change the channel and make myself a sandwich, what's going to happen? Whoa! What, bro, you better be stepping back. That's my remote, amen? Right? Right? But see, right here it says that we had no identity. We had no claim. We had no right. We were not. We were in darkness. Amen? But we were called to His marvelous light. Amen? You were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Amen? And mercy is wonderful. How many of you have ever needed mercy before? How many have ever messed up so bad that you just needed mercy? Amen? You received mercy. You had no mercy. Isn't God wonderful? Amen? That's who you are. That's how God sees you. Amen? Now if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14, or I'm sorry, 17. Did I say? I told you 17, right, Mama? 17 to 21. Now, let me give you a little bit of a background, amen? The Apostle Paul, one of the main writers of the New Testament in the Bible, the Bible says that God called this man to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Amen? Because the chosen people were the Jews. Amen? The Hebrews. The ones who had the oracles of God. The ones through whom God chose. The ones who through them, the line, the bloodline, Jesus came. The Bible says that to his he came, but they did not receive him. Amen. So it was to them. But it was also prophesied through Abraham, even Adam and everything, that God was going to bring salvation to all men. Amen? And so, in comes into the scene this apostle, this man of God, who is now bringing the good news of the gospel to those that did not have claim, to those that did not have merit, to those that were not in the sonship, to those who were not of the house. Amen. You and me. Amen. He brought the gospel, and he was saying, I want you to know who you are. Because there was many teachers back then that were teaching, and that were saying that these people, the people that weren't out of Israel, that they had to become like them, and that they had no, if they didn't, then there was no way that they could be saved and things like that. And Paul said, you know what? That's not it. I want you to know the fullness of the love of God. I want you to know who you are. Who you are in Christ. Amen? And she's going to put up there verse 17, but I'm going to start in verse 14. If you have your Bibles, or if you just got a pen or something, write this down so you can read it at home. Ephesians chapter 3. It's in the New Testament. I'm going to start in verse 14, and we're going to read through 21, and we're just going to read along, amen? And then we're going to explain a little bit about it, amen? Then Paul is saying, for this reason, because I've been called to preach to you, because I've been called to testify to you, because I've been called to the Gentile church, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Amen? In the new man. Praise God. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Amen. Amen. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Listen, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that passes or surpasses all understanding. Somebody say amen. Oh, all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God, so that you who were not of the sons, so that you who were out before but now are in, so that you who are now sons of God would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Amen? In other words, so you can reach the potential. Remember the pastor was preaching last Sunday? God's best. Amen? Sometimes we settle for all right, or just fine. Sometimes we settle for okay. Amen. Sometimes we settle for just right. a little bit. But God wants to give us the best. Amen? God wants to give you the best. The best of what? Amen? And it's you know, some preachers stop at materialness. Some preachers stop at money and those kind of blessings. But it goes beyond that, because if you stop at that, then you just stop at okay. Amen? Because God does have blessings for you in way of worldly blessings. Amen? Somebody say amen. If it were not so, Jesus would not have said, don't worry about tomorrow, that it has its own worries or problems. Amen? But give thanks God today, because God, your Father, knows what you need of. He knows that you need food. He knows that you need clothing. Amen? And he provides to the lilies of the field beautiful dress. If he does that to the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, how much more is he going to give you that you are his children? If he gives the birds who don't work food to eat, and he knows when one of those falls to the ground, how much more worth are you that are his children? Amen? So God wants to bless us, but not just to that extent. He wants to bless us even greater. And we're only going to understand that when you start to know who he is and who you are in Christ. You will start to hunger. You will start to desire the mysteries, the inner mysteries of God. More than earthly riches. They're good. Don't get me wrong. Amen. I like nice cars with nice rims. Don't get me wrong. Amen. But you know what? That's a product. That's a product of being in God's goodness. That's just something that happens because you seek after God. Amen. It's not that we seek God because of those things, but we seek God's most deepest, most inner mysteries. When you start finding out who you are, what kind of power God has given you, those are just things that, amen. The Bible says that Solomon, he was the richest man on earth. In fact, he was so rich that he threw away the silver. Back in his backyard, he had mounds and mounds of silver. He just threw it away. Amen. How many of you seen somebody burn a $100 bill? Amen. Brother has. I mean, imagine having so much money that you just burn a $100 bill. Amen. I need a light. I need to light this barbecue, because somebody has something like, here's a $100 bill. Burn it. That's nothing. Bible says that Solomon was the richest man on earth. But you know what he asked God for? He didn't ask him for riches. He didn't ask him for gold or silver or anything. He only asked him for wisdom, for the inner things. To know the mind of God. And as a result of that, he was rich. Praise God. Is that okay? Amen? That works for me. Amen? Praise God. Amen. So, I don't know why I went there. Maybe it was for somebody. But it says, verse 20 says, now to him who was able to immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now to him who, God, to him who is able to do immeasurably. Now, listen. This is who God. Once you know who God is, this is what you say. This, not to him who is able to do immeasurably or without limit, without measure, more than we can ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Somebody say amen. According to the power which is at work in Sister Sylvia. Wow. Amen. And Sister Jasmine. Amen. Brother Pete. Amen. And all who have called on his name. And all those who were out once but now are in. Amen. According to his power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To know the fullness of God. To know the fullness of God, we must understand who God is. Amen. We must understand how we fit in God, in Christ, who we are. Amen. Ephesians speaks on the new Gentile church from the beginning of God, of the time God speaking of saving the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." Amen. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." God loved the world. Amen? And so Paul addresses the church and its new believers. He's addressing us. And tells them what he wants them to understand. How wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of God. He wants them to understand who they are in Christ and how they fit into the purpose of God. Did you know that you have a purpose? Amen? Remember we were talking a little bit earlier that you were saved, but you weren't saved just to look pretty. Amen? You have a purpose. You were called for a reason. There's something that you and only you can give. Amen? You are unique. You are special. You are God's special possession. He called you. Amen? And we see the apostles. We see the disciples. We see these men of God that God called. Amen? And when we see them before Jesus called them, they were just ordinary people. Amen? They were just people that no one noticed, that no one said anything great about them. Amen? But after Christ died on the cross and he rose, these 12 men whom Jesus poured his life into, these 12 men shook the foundations of the world, and their message is still being preached today. Amen? Because of a purpose that God had in them. And a purpose God has for you. You say amen? You are chosen. Praise God. And so in the same way, we, Nueva Vida, preach to you, brothers, what we want you to understand, your purpose, the fullness of the measure in each of you that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Listen. The fullness, the measure of the fullness of God that is in each of you who is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Praise God. But to understand that, we must understand who God is and how we come to Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me, except through me. Amen? I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. Nobody comes to God except through me. Amen? This is a pivotal statement. This is salvation is exclusive. In other words, you cannot be saved by any other means but through Christ Jesus alone. Amen? You cannot obtain salvation. You cannot obtain the fullness of love. You cannot obtain the blessings of God except you go through Jesus. Amen? In other words, unless you go through Jesus, my friend, I love you, but you're still out. And then you say, wait a minute, Brother Max, hold on, what are you trying to say? Are you saying that God don't love me? No, I'm not saying that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you, me, that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? That is called being in Christ. Amen? Praise God. And this is the problem, and this is a problem to the world, or to the world's way of thinking. Amen? This is a problem. Why? Well, the world doesn't have a problem with religion. It doesn't have a problem with religion. The world does not have a problem with church. Amen? The world loves church. Amen? If you notice, there's a church in every corner. Amen? Almost everywhere you go, every city you visit, you will not go to any one place that you will probably not find a church. Amen? The church has no problem. The people have no problem. The world has no problem with church or religion. Amen? As long as you can do away with certain things that make me feel uncomfortable. Amen? We love to preach about the love of God and the blessings of God. And we love to hear about the mercy of God. Amen? And we love to hear about the grace of God. Because who wants to be forgiven? I do. Who wants to be blessed? I do. Who wants to be loved? I do. But it's a little hard to hear about God's holiness. It's a little hard to hear about God's righteousness. It's a little hard to hear about God's wrath. But we don't understand that the two are intertwined. See, God cannot be love if he's not holy. God cannot be just if there's no wrath. We love a God that is love, but a God that is not just. Amen? We love God to forgive us, but not nobody else. Amen? We love God to bless me, but not bless somebody else. Amen? So then we have people like Oprah who say, I believe in God. Praise God. How many agree with that? I believe in God. The Bible says that the demons also believe in God and tremble. So if you believe in God, you're just like a demon. You have the same capabilities. There's no difference. Both believe in God. Is that enough? Why? Because the demons are still in hell. Amen? Praise God. Oprah says, I believe in God. I believe I am a Christian, and I consider myself a follower of Christ. And that sounds good to those who hear her. So good, in fact, that we dismiss what she says next. Amen? She says that I believe in God, but I don't believe that there is only one way to God. I don't believe that Jesus is the only way to God. Amen? I believe that there are many ways to God. If that were so, Jesus would not have said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody comes to God except through me. In other words, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. Amen? We wouldn't have needed him. We wouldn't have done away with Jesus. That's what religion wants you to believe. Hey, it's, you know, as long as you're okay, as long as you do right, as long as you believe in God, then you're okay. You're safe. You escaped it. Praise God. She said, I believe that there is more than one way to God. I believe that there are many ways to God. I believe that as long as you do what is right in your heart and try to live a good life and follow whatever you think God is and believe, you will have eternal life. If you follow what you think God is, then you will have eternal life. Amen? You can subscribe to any kind of thing. Any whatever it is, whatever you call God. There are many roads. Whatever it is. But see, that's the difference between Christianity and many religions. Religions out there will tell you, yeah, there's many ways. But Jesus said, I'm the only way. This is why they took him to the cross. This is why they killed him. This is why they hated him, because he said, I'm the only way. Amen? Praise God. You have people like Billy Graham, Robert Schuller, Carlton Pierce, prominent preachers of the gospel who all started right and ended up in a lie. They all were men of God who started preaching the gospel, started preaching that there is only one way to God, but then ended in their life, in their later ministry, saying, you know what, I had it wrong. Saying things like, I believe that everyone will be saved, even if you don't believe in Christ. God cannot be that bad to send someone to hell for not believing. That all contradicts what Jesus said. You believe in me. Amen. And he who sent me, you will have eternal life. Amen. You have star preachers like Joel Osteen saying, yes, I believe the Bible. I believe what it says, and I believe that there is one way to God. But listen, but I believe there are many ways to Jesus. Amen. In other words, you can believe in the Mormon Jesus, or you can believe in the Jehovah Witness Jesus, you can believe in the Muslim Jesus. Amen. Those are all Jesus, and they say Jesus Christ. Amen. But there's something different about those Jesus. Amen. The Jesus that they preach is a Jesus who did not have enough. What he did on the cross was not enough. They had to bring somebody else, like Joseph Smith. They had to bring somebody else, like Michael the Archangel. They had to bring somebody else, like Muhammad, to complete what God could not do. But that goes against what God's word says when Jesus said, it is finished. I have done it. It is finished. I have completed it. Amen? You have new charismatic preachers like Rob Bell, who says that as long as you believe God, God will eventually find a way for you to be saved and to stay saved. It doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about hell. You don't have to worry about sin. Oh, just God's grace and love will keep you safe. That sounds good. Again, it sounds good. It sounds like it should be in the Bible, but it's not. Amen? On and on, I can go on and keep telling you about people coming from the emerging church mystics like John Crowder and Todd Bentley, who believe crazy things about angels and supernatural powers. And I can tell you about these crazy things that are happening within the church. But it escapes them, the fullness of God. What escapes them is who they really are in Christ. What escapes them is who God really is. What escapes them is the love, the fullness of the love of God. But you're saying, Brother Max, but you just finished telling me that there is a danger. You just finished telling me that I can go to hell. You just finished telling me that my sin can take me to hell. How is a loving God gonna allow that? How does a loving God send somebody to hell? And that's why these people twist the scripture, because they have not found, they have not understood the fullness of the love of God. See, God doesn't need anyone to make excuses for him. When you come to understand the fullness of the love of God, you will understand how much a loving God loved you so much that he came down, clothed himself in flesh, lived a perfect life, and then on my behalf, on your behalf, obediently went to a cross, nailed, beaten, punched, flesh ripped open with whips that had bones that ripped his flesh, spears in his sides, and hung there to die. His love for me was such that he substituted his righteous self for my sinful self. Amen? Praise God. Jesus went to the cross, the only pure lamb who could take the sin of the world, and he paid with his blood and life the penalty for mine and your sin to appease the wrath of God that was impending for our life. That is what Jesus did on the cross. He took upon himself the penalty for sin, the full wrath of God. People like the idea of power of and heaven and salvation and eternal life, but they want to obtain it on their own terms. Amen? They don't like the idea of the wrath of God, hell, sin, holiness, to live a life set apart for God. Amen? People today want to follow God, but they want a lovey-dovey Jesus, a God that's accepting of everything, of sin, of immoral living, of murder, of all that. We want a God that accepts everything and everybody. And God, that you don't have to repent or do anything. That is, it's all done for you. And all you have to do is believe, and that's fine. All you have to do is say a little prayer and raise your hand and accept him in your heart. But you continue to live the way you do. You continue to lie and cheat. You continue to fornicate and live adulterously. You continue to steal and rob and hate and backtalk and live a life like you've never been saved before. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Amen? Christ is the only way. Listen, the wrath of God, amen, the Bible says it falls on the children of disobedience. Amen. But the rest of God is justice, is just, is love. You say, come on, Brother Max, what are you talking about? The wrath of God is love. Listen. Listen. God is love. God is holy. God is pure. He is good. And in God's presence, the Bible says there is no shadow. There is no impurity. Amen? This is the reason why God, when Moses said, God, I want to see you. God said, I can't let you see me. Because if you see me, you'll die. Now, when we look at Moses, was he a bad person? No. He's the one that through God's power delivered the children of Israel from the hand of Egypt. And miracles and wonders were brought at Moses' hand by the power of God. Amen? But Moses was still in the state that we all find ourselves in. Amen? He needed a Savior. Amen? And so, even though God had mercy, and even though there's grace in God, but when God saw Moses, when God saw the people of God before Jesus Christ, he only saw sin. He only saw an alien. He saw one that was outside, the one that did not deserve mercy because of the sin of our fathers, the sin of Adam and Eve, the sin that we commit. We were outsiders. And so to a pure and holy God, we would perish being in his midst. Okay. Have you ever been in a dark room? Have you ever gone into your house and there's a dark room? And you go into that room and you can't see nothing. It's pitch black. Amen? Pitch black. There's nothing. You cannot see a thing. Not anything in front of you. But the moment you turn on the light, the moment you flip the switch, light comes in and darkness flees. Darkness cannot stand where there is light. Amen? But we don't say, Hakemala, the light. It kicked out the darkness. The wrath of the light kicked out the darkness. Amen? We don't say that, right? Because we understand that where light is, darkness can't be. Amen? And so where God's goodness is, sin can't be. And so because of that, God sent his son, his pure son, to this world, to this earth, so that you could have life. So that when he died on the cross and he finished that work And now Jesus sees you after, I mean, when God sees you after that you have accepted Christ, after you have repented and you have called upon the blood of Christ, after that, when God sees you, he doesn't see the sin. He doesn't see the old man, but he sees Christ in you. He sees the just God. He sees justice. He sees righteousness. He doesn't see sin anymore. That's the fullness of the love of God. See, other people are going to try to make excuses for the love of God. Oh, God is, he just can't be that mean. But he's not. He loved you so much that he made a way for you. He sent his only perfect son as a replacement for you. Amen? So to understand, my brothers, to understand who you are, to understand the full potential of where you stand in Christ, you got to understand who he is. You got to understand how much he loves you. You got to understand how much he seeks you. You got to understand how much he wants you. You got to understand what limits he has gone through to reach after you. But you say, but bro, you don't know me. You don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the things that I've said. You don't know the places I've been. See, it's not what you can do. It's not what you have done. And it's not what you are or could do. But on that cross, it was what God did. It was what he said. It was what he lived. It was what he did. It was who he is. Then now, we are chosen people. That now we are a royal priesthood. That now we are a holy nation. That now we are God's special possession, who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So my friend, God loves you. God loves you. So much that he did not spare his son. So much that he was willing to lay down his life so that you would not be consumed by his goodness. If you have never, ever, ever called on the name of Jesus, and if you feel God is calling you today, if you want to ever understand the fullness of God, or if you're just fine with religion, hey, that's fine. My job is done. I came here to say, if you're fine with just religion and if you're fine with just church, if you're just fine with just, that's fine. God loves you so much that he respects that. God loves you so much that he will defend your right to go to hell if you want to. That's harsh. That sounds awful. But he loves you that much. But God also pulled no stops. God also made a way so much that if you would just call in his name, if you would just receive him, if you would just repent and say, God, I've tried it my own way. I've done it my own way. And I'm not happy. I know that there is something more. I know that's something that I need. I don't know what it is. I've tried it here and I've tried it there. I've done this and I've done that. But there's still something there that's missing. And I've looked for it in women. And some may say I've looked for it in men. Some may say I've looked for it in drugs and I've looked for it in alcohol and I've looked for it in business and I've looked for it any which way. I'm inviting you today. God loves you. If you want to know the fullness of God, if you want to be a part of His people, if you want to be His chosen, if you want to be His special possession, He gives it to you. You don't have to do anything special. You don't have to give $1 million, $1 kajillion to go to heaven, to be saved. It doesn't cost you anything. It only costs you your heart. He says, here I am at the door and knock. I'm at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. If you hear my voice, let me in. I want to come in. I want to be with you. I want to give you life. As we stand, Pastor.